Greetings, brethren, wherever you are. In the name of Jesus Christ, I greet the few. Someone's really messing with us right now. It's not a nice view out the old window. Our barking prophets of God can't keep up with the conspiracies, and the newsmen of God are moving so fast with the incoming information that they're living on Dramamine. Beware. Furious activity is no substitute for godly understanding. And I've even found a new slant on prophecy, which is yet another diverse assessment of the current world condition in relation to the enigmas of Scripture. Well, I say sloppy thinking always gets worse over time. We're seeing it today. Well, I would suppose that a few of us know full well that we should not put the weight of blame for our troubles upon mere men. You know, despite the illusion that corporate is in complete control of the chaos, I say that chaos has just stepped off the bus without any mandate from said corporate entity. Chaos has received its mandate from God Almighty. So I'd like to open this study with a verse from Exodus chapter 9. And that would be verse 14. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. And if we have eyes that see, well, we can see the power behind the tragedies and the calamities which have befallen this fragile, once pristine space rock upon which we reside, happily or otherwise. I'd say the latter rules today. Vale of Tears? Valley of the Shadow of Death, anyone? Yeah. Now we're focused in the right place. It's said that we're literally being poisoned into despair and death by way of the devices of our own making. What are the fruits of pride if not greed and carnage and waste and death? That wasn't so tough. I will not credit man fully for the wages of such dubious undertakings as local or world domination and all the filth and desolation visited on the world as a result. I will credit the Lord. The Lord God happens to be sovereign. He just doesn't fill in the blanks and we just can't figure out what to put there, you know? Our Father alone is the Kingmaker, and He's the Kingbreaker. He's the architect. He's the builder. He's the destroyer. Does anybody recall, I kill and I make alive? I wound and I heal? Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Huh. Now we're plagued with multiple new menaces in the world. I tell you, it's just a matter of a short time before it gets even worse. We ain't seen nothing yet. So have we fled to the mountains yet? Or to the Carolinas? Doesn't reading our chronological sequence of prophetic events in prudent places help us to determine where we are on the roadmap of prophetic destiny? We paid a lot of money to understand the sequence of events, and the best places to hide, didn't we? Did the people of Goshen have any choice but to reside where they were during the great judgment upon Egypt? And I'm getting to that in a minute. Lucky you. Babylon's economy's taking another rip to the gut, but hey, the market's up. This growing beast will surely survive the deadly wound, though, so don't worry. Heck, I'd say pretty much we're engaged in WW3 right now. Nothing's going to stop the will of God for these last times, brethren. And we're blaming the globalists or Satan? They're all puppets, boys and girls. Puppets all. But hey, the net is still up, and the shortwave still works, and we can still get our daily dose of fear-mongering and apostasy and flesh-saving survival tips. Isn't it clear to us that evil is good and good is evil today? So what's the problem? You're surrendering to the God that you say you serve, so surrender to His will, and that is His will. He prophesied it. Good being evil and evil being good is an end-time axiom designed by God. Isaiah 5:20. Why the woe? Unless it's really happening. Prophecy is fulfilling itself daily, just as God said. Not as the prophets today said. God said. That which God had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures has come and is coming to pass. And we still have our own camp dog prophets barking that God must still reveal his next move through them. Yes, sir. You got to listen to me because my ministry's here for the perfecting of the saints. I don't know. I think I'd rather get a mercury-laced vaccine than go to some of these guys who are perfecting the saints. But hey, I'll take a shot at prophesying for you, and I won't charge you a cent. I prophesy judgment and salvation. Ah, but heck, that's nothing new under the sun. The real prophets in the Old Testament did that already. Jesus prophesied the end of the world and his return. Oh, man. I want to be a prophet so bad. Oh, well. Maybe I'll try cult leading instead, huh? Yeah. You know, some of us still don't know what to make of all this stuff. I mean, are we going to be poisoned or massacred or burn under radioactive skies or get swallowed up in a chasm during an earthquake? Well, a lot of God's saints still drink the water. They still eat the Frankenstein food and breathe the chemtrailed air. So we're all still in our tents, aren't we? By his mercy? Life is short even under the best that God's genetic design has to offer. I said God's genetic design. And then we all gotta die of something. Sometime. Right? But you're telling me, what's the rush, preacher? We got the metals and the teas and the remedies and the grain mills to make us healthy and to preserve us. Vanity. Seriously, I do believe it's time we begin taking our concerns to God directly instead of to our false prophets and seers and watchmen and teachers and cult leaders. I really do. Last I checked, Isaiah and Jeremiah, Elijah, they didn't have any special herbal hemp kelp plastic and duct tape, Berkey, heart remedy, MRE, cayenne, help, I've fallen and I can't get up, freeze-dried, get-out-of-jail-free offers, did they? They lived through some pretty bad scenes, saints of God. Real bad scenes. And so did God's people. Those they were instructing. You know, get the tea? Get a clue. The knowledge of our teachers and salesmen for Christ is the smaller part of ignorance which they arrange and classify and market as truth. But it is ignorance. It is foolishness. Don't get the tea. Buy the truth and sell it not. God has truly shown their wisdom to be as foolishness and as gross short-sightedness. So be it. Since I can't afford the real estate or the toys or the survival crap that our anointed prophets and teachers and preachers are all offering us, let's just say that I'm at the mercy of my sovereign God. Oh, poor baby. Let me tell each and every one of you who say you follow Jesus Christ that you'd better be too. Is your Geiger counter going to save your souls? It's always some new kind of crap we gotta buy, isn't it? For some new kind of threat that we have to see coming around the corner, isn't it? It won't make any difference where you are when the fire comes down, whether you're in the cities or whether you're out in the boonies. You'll either be consumed or you'll be passed over as God wills. Period. How much do we rely on our Pied Piper Pooch men of God? How much of God's money do we donate to their profit margins? And we whine because we don't ever seem to have enough scratch to stay in the game. Well, pray with your bug-out bag by your sides, like good little deluded cowards. This world is all about excuses, and so are you who teach, and so are you who learn from them. And true followers of Christ? Well, that's another story completely, but I can tell you, by my own experience, the few seem to be getting fewer. Not a lot of real going on out there anymore. So is the current radioactive tragedy and the ongoing Earth changes and the new war to set the world at war enough to compel some of us to see this as a last introduction of God to men? Or is it some fulfillment of the Illuminati card game? Granted, these people have first-hand insights into the future. The devil knows his time is short. But if we leave man out of this, are some of you still giving Satan credit for the mayhem? If you are, you're missing out on the blessing of peace during the storm right now and the overpassing of God's indignation on his spiritual Israel. Yeah, I don't particularly care that I got to do the chores outside or plow the glowing snow with all the hysteria regarding who lives and who dies with how much or how little exposure to the radioactive winds of judgment we get. Sovereign God protected his national Israel, and which is the type and shadow of God's spiritual Israel, through the plagues upon Egypt, the majority of them. Did God rapture him out before he introduced himself to the heathen Egyptians? No. No, they stayed. Our Father had a wish to demonstrate his fierce wrath with his people in place among the recipients of his wrath, to demonstrate his glory and his mercy. And where have we studied this before, I wonder? Is this a style of God's only confined to the 10 plagues of Egypt? Not hardly, if we dig deeper into learning more about our God than the meaning of the colors of the horses and the 144,000 or the day and hour of the return of Jesus Christ. I'd say with much trepidation, humility, and sincerity that the lucky ones in the recent spate of earthquakes and floods, fires, cold and heat waves, military actions, plagues, brotherly butchery, tidal waves, and nuclear poisonings are the ones who died instantly. What's left when you crawl out the other side but devastation? Those left behind aren't quite enjoying life or the benefits of health and wealth and safety and security these days, are they? And I believe that God the Father is introducing himself to mankind one last time in history. As God has written it, introducing himself in a real big way, in an end time way. Scripture does tell us this without the aid of our esoteric scholars. His sheep know his voice already. His sheep know his purpose already. His sheep dwell on his word. His sheep dwell amidst the chaos, the mayhem, the desolation, in peace with God, through Jesus Christ in them. I'm sure some of us still find consolation in reading God's word without the need to show ourselves approved to any but God. So here's some scripture. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Exodus 6, verse 6 and 7. Boy, this I stuff's kind of heavy, huh? We can rediscover who calls the real shots, then and now. And who made whom for whose purpose? The 10 plagues of Egypt weren't an isolated event in which God decided to override a king's heart and mind. God tells Moses that he wants his people out of Egypt, but he's going to harden Pharaoh's heart that he won't let them go. Huh? Yeah, that sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Yeah, but it's not. God tells Moses just why he'll harden the heart of the very man that God wants to release his people. Simply stated, God tells Moses that he's doing this that Egypt know that he is God. Exodus 7:5. God shows us very clearly his absolute sovereignty over the affairs of mere men, rulers and paupers alike. And this pronouncement by God is all over Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. It's about God. It's not all about men. It's about Father's glory. Let's take a look at the terrors and the plagues coming upon the world at this time in relation to our place in the midst of them. Hold them up to Israel and Goshen in those days of the plagues. Obviously, there will be some of God's saints left in the rubble to be called up with Jesus when he returns. God says so in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Exodus chapters 7, 8, and 9 very strikingly leave out something that we would pay a prophet of God or a teacher or a seer to find out. And that is, there is absolutely nothing said about what Israel was doing during God's visitations upon Egypt, except during the last plague. It seems Israel was going about their business and occupying. You know, maybe dusting themselves off to get rid of the lice and some of those annoying plagues. And in the big ones, they were protected, but they were occupying. They were doing their thing, going about their business that God ordained them to do. In a few places in Exodus, God literally states to Moses his covering and exclusion of Goshen from the plagues. In other places, God mentions nothing about this covering or exclusion. So, like good little preeminent monkeys that we are, us teachers, we can assume all we want as to whether some of the plagues were just a simple tolerable nuisance to Israel, or whether God fully constantly covered Goshen or Israel during all the plagues. To me, personally, my own POV, not dogma, when God states to Moses that Goshen will be excluded in 5 of the 10 instances, it stands to reason that Israel only needed protection from the worst of the plagues. And they had to weather the others, however they were given to weather them. Now, we do know that Israel made it through the plagues and finally out of Egypt, after God had shown Egypt and Israel who was whom. In the annals of antiquity, it's been recorded that the earth was under some kind of change during the plagues of Egypt, just as it was before the great flood of Noah. And Egypt was brought down into the dust for many a generation. I mean, their preeminence disappeared for a while. How convenient that God brought these plagues forth by using the earth's own physical systems. Coincidence? Not hardly. God planned just as he planned in the days of the flood, that his created physical systems would definitely converge with the affairs of man to judge, destroy, and to promise salvation for a few. And this is the same merciful God who killed off a complete generation of his own people, which he freed from Egypt for a simple rebellion in the wilderness. The same God who allowed his people to be destroyed and scattered after all he'd done for them. As we read, God did not so do it for them. God did it to first manifest his glory. Then God showed mercy and more wrath later on for his own people's sin and rebellion again and again. And they ultimately forgot him. Ask the question, who is a respecter of persons? Scripture tells us who is a respecter of persons. It's not Father. Whose will takes preeminence? I exhort my brethren to study your God. A major portion of this studying is spent in quiet prayer and worship and communion with God the Father through his high priest Jesus Christ. We are told to seek the things of God. I say seek them while they may be found. Oh, I know that's in Scripture too, so I'm not saying anything new. Pray without ceasing, brethren. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. This is communion with God through Christ. It's not, you know, it's not repetitious litanies. Jesus Christ is right by our sides. Commune with him as the disciples did. Jesus walks the road with you. Ask of God through Jesus. Ask for knowledge and for wisdom and for understanding. He'll answer. I mean, occupy until he comes. What he told, that's what Jesus told his disciples in Luke 19:13. Live as those in Goshen lived during the overspreading of God's indignation. Let God cover or expose as it is his good pleasure. You know, and what's that good pleasure for? Well, that God show his glory, his sovereignty, his mercy. Occupy your place upon your path and don't wander away in fear or confusion. Heed Jesus' words, be not deceived, which means we have to put a little bit of brain power in what we're processing through our carnal ears and our eyes, and we have to discern. I tell you the truth, God is reintroducing himself to mankind in fulfillment of his will and his prophecy. Take a look at Zephaniah 2:11. The Lord will be terrible unto them, for for he will famish all the gods of the earth. He's going to waste them all away, saints. And men shall worship him, God, every one from his place, even all the isles of the heathen. You know, this means everybody. Righteous, ungodly, sinner, whatever, whoever's left. God is sending his plagues that all should know that he is God over all his creation. We read the prophecies in Revelation and we turn them into disaster flicks, you know, and we just really love all this stuff. But why is God sending these things? Yeah, judgment, yeah, we've been bad boys and girls ever since the garden, yeah. God is finishing up now. He's finished. The only way to clean up this earth is to virtually destroy it. Yeah, but why? That we all know that he is God. God is sending all of these plagues over all of his creation. And all of us, one way or the other, are going to know by his own declaration that he is the Lord. He is God. So listen to your God. He called you to a hope of salvation. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Not a lot of sound mind kind of thing going on out there either these days. Fear God, brethren. Don't fear man. That's Babel too. Neither fear what's coming upon the earth. That's Bible too. There will be no release, and there won't be any going back. That's implied. And we ain't seen nothing yet, even though we think we have. You hold fast to your gift of faith and the promise of eternal life. And you run the race, and you don't run away from it. Thus, you will become as the man who built a house and dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the storm beat vehemently upon that house, it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. And that rock is your rock, Jesus Christ the Lord, the gospel, your Goshen, which is Jesus Christ the Lord. The blood upon the lintel and the side posts. Jesus Christ the Lord. Your Lord. Remember John 12:25. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. There are plagues upon the earth, and there are plagues upon men's hearts. The pollution of the world and the flesh and the devil is a mighty plague upon the hearts of men and women. And as all of hell now spreads like locusts on the wind upon the hearts of men, on the air and in the food and the water, be warned that if after you have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for you than the beginning, 2 Peter 2:20. So don't let fear get a foothold. I'll tell you this until I'm finally shut up. No earthly calamity can equal the fear of being turned away by Jesus Christ at the end of it all. It can't. You think about that. Keep to your narrow way with Jesus. He's the way to the Father. Rest now in God's finished work. Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It's happening to you right now as you grow in grace. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace, that thou may know that he is God. Go in the peace of Jesus Christ, and don't fear. All praise, honor, and glory be to our God the Father, of our Savior Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.